accession number 18494, reel 7.
Mr. Perry, 11th Hussars, reel 9.
Reel 7.
Remember of the different kinds of treatment you got as you were going up through the various dressing stations?
IDS first one was, I think, I just got them bandaged, the wounds bandaged, etc., etc., because I had these two here. Then I had about a 6-inch cut in my leg, although they say I didn't. But they don't know. They knew because that must have been on my records, you see.
So where exactly were you wounded? What were your wounds?
I was wounded in the face here. On over the eyes, you can see them too. And I had a bit of shrapnel taken out of here.
That's your left cheek?
Yeah. Then when we got to MDS, I think I must have had this piece of shrapnel taken out here and this piece out here, or two pieces, or whatever the one.
That's the bits taken out of your face?
Yes, yeah. And that was MDS.
What does that stand for? Which dressing station?
Medical dressing station.
Medical
That's
dressing.
The second one up.
Yep.
Second one coming back. And from then, I still hadn't seen Titch. I never see him anymore. I went to Catania Hospital, which was a lovely hospital.
How were you taken there?
By Dakota from Naples. A DC-8, and when I got to Catania, that was it was spotless, and that was a matron. I often say it about her. She was. She always come around in the morning, asked you how you were. And she was spotless. She got this white uniform on, and she was spotless every morning. Yeah.
And that meant a lot, did it?
Yeah. Yes, I think it did. Yeah. She was one of these people, well, I suppose she'd been brought up in it. She was one of these people who wanted to know how you were and so forth and so forth. And that went on like that. What was I about? I don't know whether I was 2 weeks in Catania Hospital. I was somewhere about that, I think. And then I went to convalescent, which was just outside of Catania. I can't think of the name of the place, but anyhow, I went there for another 6 weeks, I think it was, because I didn't get back to the regiment till that was ready to leave to go come home. Being the last one to get wounded in the history, it was the last one to get wounded, and the last one more or less to get on the boat, I suppose, that was ready to come, the Cameronia.
Before you head back to the UK, just going back to your journey down the evacuation line, I mean, who took you to the first, can you remember, or were you still unconscious, who took you from the point where you were blown up to the advanced dressing station?
The ambulance, the regiment's ambulance.
You got a regimental ambulance?
Yeah, that
can you remember what that was?
That was a, what do you mean, what make?
Well, was it a truck or a...
No, proper ambulance. We had a proper ambulance, yes, for the regiment. Yeah. And regimental doctor always used to come out. I can't tell you who the regimental doctor was, but he always used to come out. And They took me... No, I don't think they did. I think another ambulance must have took me to Naples Airport to catch the plane for Catania, you see, which was...
So it's under regimental arrangements from the point where you were wounded, yeah, back to the advanced dressing station.
Yeah, the ambulance come and pick me up, yeah, and teach from the where it happened.
Right.
Then it took us to ADS, and then from ADS MDS, and then I was taken to Catania, but I don't know what happened to Titch. Mm.
And looking at Catania, you were very obviously very impressed with the staffing and
yeah,
things. I mean, how many people were there? How many soldiers were there?
I was on a ward which was full, I should say. But I was impressed by the way she was. She was spotless.
So you said that when you were finally declared fit for duty. Now, can you remember how all that happened? Did you,
yeah,
have to go for a board or something? Or
no, I don't think so. I think the doctor at the convalescent said we could go back because we took this some vehicle park back. You see, there was I don't know whether it was. I've got a feeling there was 19 vehicles, so there must have been 19 people return into the regiments if they were lucky, because they send you anywhere if you couldn't get your regiment. That's your point. And didn't worry where you got wounded or what you were doing, but that you could go with any regiment. Anyhow, the 11th were coming home on the Cameronia, and I was walking about in the
harbour. The docks.
Yeah, in the docks. And who should I run across but Toby Horsford. And he said, oh, you can come home with us. So I did. I'd lost my kit. I got hardly any kit, but they kicked me out off of the boat, and that's how I got out.
Was there any? It's interesting you say that you thought you could get posted to any regiment. Was there any danger that you were going to be posted somewhere other than the?
I couldn't see anything else for it. Not if I'd have missed a regiment, because I'd be coming back to England.
Yeah, yeah. But before that, I mean, was there any?
No, I don't think so. No, but.
What made you say that you could get posted to anywhere then? Is this something that was common knowledge? Or?
Well, it's common knowledge, yeah. Yeah. You could get posted anywhere, you see.
And what was the feeling about that?
Not very good, I don't think.
Did you know anybody that it had happened to?
No, I didn't, no.
But you...
I'd been somewhere where they... what was the word? Somebody had said to me, well, you want to be careful where you get another regiment or something like that. But I don't know where it happened.
But it was, are you suggesting that it was common knowledge?
Well, it was more or less common knowledge, yes. So I think if you was to find the right people, you would find where the people had done that, you see. I mean, they just didn't worry about it, you see. As long as you'd got a regiment and you were fit, you could go.
But in your particular case, you bumped into one of your officers and...
Did you know Toby? No. He was...
I think anyone who's read the history knows of him.
Yeah. Yeah, poor old Toby. He's dead now, though, isn't he? He's gone. He farmed here at one time, just up the road from here, Needham Market. He was farming there. One time he brought some milk cartons out in machines. Oh, he got several of these machines. I don't know how many he got here, but quite a number.
Did you meet him after the war when he was here?
Yes, I went and see him. Yes, yeah.
But anyway, you got onto the ship and they kitted you out.
Yes, they kitted me out. Yes, they got some hats and stuff like that, you know, which was boots. I think I lost my boots, me one battle dress. But otherwise, I was all right.
And that was the end of your...
Of course, yes, that was the end of it. The Cameronia was a good boat. That was a better boat than I went out on, because I went out on the Harlem Princess. I did tell you that, didn't I? Harlem Princess. Then there was... From there we went down... After we're on the Cameronia now, from there we went to Oran. We were in Oran Harbour on Christmas, what would that be, 1944? Uh-huh. Yeah, 1944.
Christmas 43, wouldn't it? December 43, beginning of 44.
Yes, that's right, yes. 43, we were tied up in Oran Harbour.
Did you have much of a Christmas of it?
Well, that wasn't bad, you know, as things go. I suppose we had Christmas pudding, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it was better than being in a troop, shall I put it that way? And whether we left there on Boxing Day, I can't really think. The Boxing Day... Or it might have been the day after Boxing Day, the 27th, because we were in Greenock on the 6th of January. So it probably was. But that come home unescorted, the Cameronia. Oh, yes.
Was it a fast ship then?
Well, it must have been, I think. Or they knew, the people, the powers that be, knew that his... submarine U-boats had nearly packed up, you see, and they couldn't get the stuff for them and things like that. So the chance for getting torpedoes was very slight.
What was the journey like?
It was all right. It was a bit rough through Gibraltar. There were some real waves because... They all say, don't they, that Gibraltar is a rough place in the Mediterranean. It was rough there, but otherwise, coming up into Greenock, that was all right. Yeah.
What was the food like on board? Can you remember?
Wasn't too bad, I don't think. I think we had enough. What else was it? We come up and we were in Greenock on Jan the 6th, and then we were down to Ashridge Camp, and
Ashridge was whereabouts?
Ashridge in Hertfordshire, wasn't it?
Mm. And what sort of camp was this? Tented, hutted?
Hutted. It was Nissen huts. But I got a nice little job. Me and another trooper, while we were in Ashridge for 6 months, we looked after the telephone exchange. I got transferred to headquarters squadron, and this other fella come out of D squadron, and we run the telephone exchange. That was a nice little number. Yeah.
So could you sort of explain that a bit more? I mean, what sort of size of exchange and what did you...
Oh, well, I got the normal jacks on. What have we got, about four lines in? We got more lines than four in, I think. We might have had six, but we'd got all these what come off of the board, hadn't we? To these different, apparently all of them had got a line out of these officers. Anyhow, they were quite good. There was we were there until the beginning of June, I suppose. In the meantime, my dingo, because I was going to, I'd got the colonel's dingo then, you see.
So you were, is this another job, or was this after the telephone exchange?
Before the telephone exchange, I got transferred from B squadron to RHQ squadron. I didn't tell you that, so to RHQ squadron, and I got in charge as a colonel's dingo. And the other bloke came out of D squadron. I think he went back to his D.
And the dingo was, let's get this quite clear, we're talking about a little scout car.
That's right, yeah, yeah.
And was that the CO's runabout?
That's right. That's the one he used to go up to his forward troops in. He'd always be up there somewhere. I used to take him up and so forth. And if he wanted to go anywhere, I took him, you see.
Was that his only vehicle?
No, he had a Humber Snipe.
You drive that as well?
I did drive it, but he'd got a batman who drove that, you see. Because I suppose all his personal belongings went in there.
Now, the Humber Snipe, again, let's be clear, what sort of vehicle are we talking about?
We are talking about just an ordinary Humber Snipe, in other words, aren't you?
Staff car.
Was it armoured or anything like that? No, it wasn't armoured, no.
It was a staff car.
That's right, yeah.
And in action, would he tend to be in that or one of the headquarters armoured cars?
He'd be in his dingo if he was wanting to go up to his forward troops. Oh, yeah, he'd be there.
Now, who was the CO at this time?
Bill Wayman. Because he died early in life, didn't he? What, he died in 51? Yeah.
How well did you get to know the CO then? I mean, if you were his driver, how well did you get to know him?
In what way do you mean?
Well, as a man.
Well, as a man, he was a good one. Oh, yeah. Whether all COs were the same, I don't know, but he was a good one. Yeah. Excellent, really.
You got on well with him?
Yes. Well.
I suppose in a dingo you would have to, because am I right? It's a two-person vehicle, isn't it?
That's right. He's got, twin, not Bren. What are they?
Brownings?
Brownings. Yeah, twin Brownings. Yes, on them. I think all their armour cars had Browning guns afterwards. Because while we were at Ashridge, you see, we all drew up these new Daimlers from Castle Bromwich. I fetched one at the time. I brought one down from Castle Bromwich down to Ashridge, stopped at Loughborough in Loughborough School a night when we were bringing them back, because that's a fair way from Castle Bromwich to Ashridge. And that was that must have been before I had a job in the telephone exchange. But what month it was when we fetched them, I don't know. I think it must have been, no, because we all had, didn't we have a month's leave? I believe so. I think we had a month's leave, so it must have been in February when we fetched these Daimlers. And they were brought in, and then they were allotted to the troops, and that is how we waterproofed them, and etc.
What did you think of the Daimler as the an armoured car?
Good armoured. Yes. Although they didn't act very well on soft ground, did they? Because they would spin, you see, with their... They were a different type of car altogether because they got the fluid flywheel. We'd never been used to fluid flywheel, not since I joined the 11th. I mean, the Rolls had the gate crash gears, and then there was the Marmot Harrington, which had got a V8 engine. Then we had a few Morris. Then we... I said Marmon Harrington, didn't I? Then we had the Humpers, and that finished us, the Humpers in Africa, you see, and in Italy.
So what difference did the driving, did a fluid flywheel make?
Well, it didn't make any difference to driving, but it was a different type of car to drive, you see. They always keep emphasising that it was, you see, you could reverse your fluid flywheel, and we had one or two of them go, the seals would go on the fluid flywheel to get the pressure out, you see. So what you had to do really was to, you mustn't freewheel, you've got to, the answer to it is you've got to change down your gearbox. And the trouble is you've got to have your, your revs have got to go the same speed as your flywheel is going.
Did this make it more difficult to drive?
No, I don't think so. Not once you got used to them, but I'd never driven a flywheel before. But
did you get special training for it?
No. Well, I say no. I mean, we must have trained at Ashridge because we'd got all these, and I think we must have had a bit of training anyhow.
Yeah, I was just wondering whether you were specially trained for this or whether you sort of learned on the job.
I don't think we were learned on the job. I should say that Bill Wayman, as he was, he'd have his men trained to know what they were doing.
Was it the same with the scout car? Fluid flywheel?
Yeah, fluid flywheel with the scout car. Yeah, just the same.
And you were saying that you were doing waterproofing as well. Can you remember what you had to do for waterproofing?
Oh dear, you've asked me a question now. You see, your distributor had to be sealed for a start. Your plug heads had to be... there was some kind of stuff which would waterproof. You'd put it on and that would stop the water from getting in. I can't tell you what it was called, but... That would stop your plugs, you see. Your plugs would be all right. I believe we had to do the leads to the plugs from the distributor head. That had to be done. And that's about, I think that's about all we've done.
What about the body? What about the body work?
No. No, we never done the body work, I don't think.
What was this stuff like? I mean, to handle, was it?
Well, like grease, more or less. But it wasn't grease, you see. It was stuff which you could put on it and take your hand off, and that'd be proved, you see.
Moulded.
Yeah, moulded, yes, yes.
Well, it's just, it sounds as if it's a sort of light putty or plasticine or something, greasy.
Some of it was, yes, yeah.
And you had to do this yourselves?
Oh, yes, we all done that, yeah. We did leave one or two behind, didn't we? In the landing, I believe. I think they got in some shell holes or something, but they pulled them out and they were still all right.
So, what else were you doing at Ashridge? Now, you were you yourself.
Well, I was in the. I was in the telephone exchange.
And running the CO around.
That's right, and running the CO around, yeah. Although I don't think I was, not until he... I don't think I was, not until we got... we were waiting to board the boat, I think. That was about the first time I drove him about, I think. I think he joined, well, I say he was in headquarters, wasn't he? But I think before he used his jingo, I don't think that was much before we boarded the boat, which was the Bradford City.
What sort of ship was it?
These ships they had come from America, didn't they?
Was it called a Liberty ship? Was it one of those?
Liberty, that's the word. Yes, Liberty ship. They were riveted, weren't they? And although we got over all right on them. And then they lifted us off, you see, onto the landing craft. But we didn't get off until day three, which was the 9th of June, because... the thing of me didn't like it, did he? What is his name? Crankshaw, did he? Tony Crankshaw.
D Squadron.
Yes, right. Yeah. Yes, he didn't like it. He said, more like a London bus, didn't he? Yeah. He was another good officer, huh? Tony.
Did you ever have any dealings with him?
No, I didn't. No. But he was a good officer. Yes.
So, I mean, how did you know he's a good officer? Was this sort of general knowledge?
General knowledge, yes. Yes. They used to like him, you know. They do, you see. Yeah.
Were there any that weren't liked?
I wouldn't like to say there was. Although they were the type of people you see doing glory. You see, we lost this sergeant, didn't we? Sergeant Orchard in Olsener. And I always reckon that was, there's a Sam Bull, who was he was a well-known figure in the 11th. He was they always reckoned that the bloke he had with him at the time when it happened, when he got shot, when he got bazooked, could have been avoided. I mean, you don't know always fear in war, don't they? But I don't know. He didn't seem to think so.
So your officers, by and large, were quite a good lot, weren't they?
Oh, yeah, yeah.